Carefully, I squeezed my way between her and her neighbor, gasping as the craggy pelvic bones dug into my ribs. Once in the space beyond, I thought, I would be free to do my job. And that was my big mistake. Because as soon as I got there, the cow went to work on me in earnest. Switching her back end round quickly to cut off my way of escape, she began to kick me systematically from head to foot. She kicked forward, reaching at times high on my chest as I strained back against the wall. Since then, I have been kicked by an endless variety of cows in all sorts of situations, but never by such an expert as this one. There must be very few really venomous bovines. But when one of them uses her feet, it is usually an instinctive reaction to being hurt or frightened, and they kick blindly. But this cow measured me up before each blow, and her judgment of distance was beautiful. And as she drove me further towards her head, she was able to hook me in the back with her horns by way of variety. I was convinced she hated the human race. My plight was desperate. I was completely trapped. And it didn't help when the apparently docile cow next door began to get into the act by prodding me off with her horns as I pressed against her. I don't know what made me look up, but there in the thick wall of the byre was a hole about 2 feet square where some of the crumbling stone had fallen out. I pulled myself up with an agility that amazed me, and as I crawled through head first, a sweet fragrance came up to me. I was looking into a hay barn, and seeing a deep bed of finest clover just below. I launched myself into space and did a very creditable roll in the air before landing safely on my back. Lying there, bruised and breathless with the front of my coat thickly patterned with claw marks, I finally abandoned any lingering illusions I'd had that ministry work was a soft touch. I was rising painfully to my feet when Mr. Bell strolled in. "Sorry, I had to go out," he said, looking me over with interest. "But I've just about given you up. You're hellish late." I dusted myself down and picked a few strands of hay from my hair. "Yes, sorry about that. But never mind, I managed to get the job done. But, were you having a bit of a kip then?" No, not exactly. I had some trouble with one of your cows." There wasn't much point in standing on my dignity. I told him the story. Even the friendliest farmers seemed to derive pleasure from a vet's discomfiture, and Mr. Bell listened with an ever-widening grin of delight. By the time I'd finished, he was doubled up, beating his British knees with his hands. "I can just imagine it. That Ayrshire cross is a right bitch. Picked her up cheap at market last spring, and thought I'd got a bargain, but I soon found out. Took us a fortnight to get the bugger tied up." "Well, I just wish I'd known," I said, rather tight-lipped. The farmer looked up at the hole in the wall. "And you crawled through that?" He went into another convulsion, which lasted some time. Then he took off his cap and wiped his eyes with the lining. Oh, dear," he murmured weakly. "By God, I wish I'd been here." My last call was just outside Darrowby, and I could hear the church clock striking 7:15 as I got stiffly out of the car. After my easy day in the service of the government, I felt broken in mind and body. I had to suppress a scream when I saw yet another long line of cows' backsides awaiting me. The sun was low, and dark thunderclouds piling up in the west had thrown the countryside into an eerie darkness. And in the old-fashioned, slit-windowed byre, the animals looked shapeless and ill-defined in the gloom. Right, no messing about. I was going to make a quick job of this and get off home. Home to some food and an armchair. I had no further ambitions. So, left hand on the root of the tail, right hand between the hind legs, a quick feel around, and on to the next one. Eyes half closed, my mind numb, I moved from cow to cow, going through the motions like a robot, with the far end of the bar seeming like the promised land. And finally, here it was. The very last one up against the wall. Left hand on tail, right hand between legs. At first, my tired brain didn't take in the fact that there was something different here, but there was. Something vastly different. A lot of space, and instead of the udder, a deeply cleft, pendulous something with no teats anywhere. I came awake suddenly and looked along the animal's side. A huge, woolly head was turned towards me, and two wide-set eyes regarded me inquiringly. In the dull light, I could just see the gleam of the copper ring in the nose. The farmer, who had watched me in silence, spoke up.
"You're wasting your time there, young man. There's nought wrong with his bag.